You haven't had one in a while. As long as I've known you, I think. He indicates quotation marks with his fingers at big date. He's positive it's all a lie. I'm way too picky. He staples his fingers so hard it looks painful. Really? Such a complete drought of eligible men here. That's not true. You're searching for your own eligible bachelor? No, shut up. You're right. I drop my eyes to his mouth for a split second. I finally found someone in this godforsaken place. The man of my dreams. I raise my eyebrow meaningfully. He makes the connection to our early morning conversation seamlessly. So your dream was definitely about someone you work with. Yes. He's leaving B&G very soon, so maybe I need to make a move. You're sure about it? Yes. I can't remember the last time he has blinked his eyes. They are black and scary. You've got your serial killer eyes on again. I stand and take my proposal from him. I'll get you a copy for Fat Little Dick. Don't screw this up for me, Joshua. You've got no concept of how to build a team. Leave this to the expert. When I return, he's a little less dark-looking, but his hair is messed up. He takes the document, which I have stamped copy. He looks at the document, and I can see the exact moment he has his idea. It's the sharp pause that a fox makes as it mooches past the unlatched gate of a henhouse. He looks up at me, his eyes glittering. He bites his bottom lip and hesitates. Whatever you're thinking, don't. He takes a pen and writes something across the bottom. I try to see, but he stands and holds it so high a corner touches the ceiling. I can't risk standing on tiptoes in this dress. How could I possibly resist? He rounds his desk and touches his thumb under my chin as he brushes past. What have you done? I say to his back as he walks into Mr. Bexley's office. I scuttle into Elaine's, rubbing my chin. I agree, she says, laying the document aside. This is a good idea. Did you see how the Gammons and Bexley sat apart in the team meeting? I'm tired of it. We haven't done anything as a team since the merger planning day. I'm impressed that you and Joshua came together. I hope my weird brain doesn't file away her last filthy-sounding sentence. We are working out our differences. I have no trace of lie in my voice. I'll talk to Bexley at our 4 o'clock battle royale. What are your ideas? I found a corporate retreat that's only 15 minutes off the highway. It's one of those places with whiteboards all over the walls. Sounds expensive. Elaine makes a face, which I had already anticipated. I've run the numbers. We were under the training budget for this financial year. So what will we do at this corporate love-in? I've already come up with several team-building activities. We'll do them in a round-robin style, rotating each group so teams get regularly mixed up. I'd like to be the facilitator for the day. I want to end this war between the Bexleys and Gammons. People absolutely hate team activities, Elaine points out. I can't argue. It's a corporate truth universally acknowledged that workers would rather eat rat skeletons than participate in group activities. I know I would. But until business team-building models make a significant advance, it's all I've got. There's a prize at the end for the participant who's made the biggest effort and contributes the most. I pause for effect. A paid day off. I like it, she cackles. Joshua is planning something, though, I warn. She nods. She enters the Coliseum at precisely 4. As usual, I can hear them shouting at each other. At 5, Elaine comes out of Mr. Bexley's office and arrives at my desk in an irritated state. Josh, she tosses over her shoulder, her voice colored with dislike. Miss Pascal, how are you? A halo floats above his head. She ignores him. Darling, I'm sorry. I lost the coin toss. We've gone with Josh's idea for team building. What is the thing called? Paintballs? Sweet baby Jesus, no. That wasn't the recommendation. I should know. I wrote it. Joshua nearly smiles. It shimmers like a holograph over his face. It vibrates out of him in waves. I took the liberty of providing an alternative to Mr. Bexley. Paintballing. It's been shown to be an effective team-building activity. Fresh air, physical activity. Injuries and insurance claims, Elaine counters. Cost? People will pay $20 of their own money to shoot their colleagues with paintballs, he assures her, staring at me. It won't cost the company a cent. They'll sign waivers. We'll split into teams. Darling, how does it help team building to separate people and give them paint guns? While they argue in fake polite voices, I seethe. He's hijacked my corporate initiative and taken it down to a juvenile base level. Such a Bexley thing to do. Perhaps we'll see some unlikely alliances form, he tells Elaine. In that case, I want to see you two paired together, Elaine says archly, and I could hug her. He can't paintball his own teammate. Like I said, unlikely alliances. Anyway, let's not fluster Lucinda before her hot date. Oh, really, Lucy? Elaine taps my desk. A date? I expect a full report in the morning, darling. And come in late if you wish. You work too much. Live a little. Chapter 6. At 6:30 p.m., my knee begins jiggling. Will you be late? None of your business. God damn it, will Joshua ever leave? He's worked an 11-hour day and still looks as fresh as a daisy. I want to lie face down on my bed. Didn't you say 7? How are you getting there? Cab? I'm headed there, too. I'll give you a ride. I insist. Joshua's face has been the picture of amusement throughout this little exchange. He's waiting for me to fess up about lying. It feels good to know I have Danny as the ace up my sleeve. Fine, whatever. My fury over the team-building hijack has burned away, leaving a husk. Everything is spiraling slowly out of control. I head to the ladies' room, makeup bag in hand. My footsteps echo in the empty corridor. I haven't had a date in a long time. I'm too busy. Between work, hating Joshua Templeman, and sleeping, I have no time for anything else. Joshua cannot believe anyone would want to spend time in my company. To him, I am a repugnant little shrew. I carefully draw my eyeliner into a tiny cat's eye. I wipe off my lipstick until only the stain is left. I put a spray of perfume into my bra and give myself a little wink and a pep talk. I have a dangly pair of earrings in the side pocket of my makeup bag, and I hook them on. Office to evening, like those magazine articles. I'm tugging up my bra when I bump squarely into Joshua outside the bathroom. He is holding my coat and bag in hand. The shock of making contact with his body clashes through me. He looks at me strangely. Why'd you do all that? Gee, thanks. I hold my hand out and he hooks my bag onto it. He holds onto my coat and pushes the elevator button. So I get to see your car. I try to break the silence. That thought is more nerve-wracking than seeing Danny. It's such an enclosed space. Have Joshua and I ever sat next to each other before? I doubt it. I've been imagining it for so long. I've been thinking it's a Volkswagen Beetle, a rusty white one, like Herbie. Guess again. He is hugging my coat idly. His fingers twiddle the cuff. Against his body, it looks like a kid's jacket. I feel sorry for this poor coat. I hold my hand out, but he ignores me. Mini Cooper. Early 1980s? Kermit Green. The seat won't go back, so your knees are on either side of the steering wheel. Your imagination is quite vivid. You drive a 2003 Honda Accord. Silver. Filthy messy inside. Chronic gearbox issues. If it were a horse, you'd shoot it. The elevator arrives and I step in cautiously. You're a way better stalker than I am. I feel a chill of fear when I see his big thumb push the B button. He looks down at me, his eyes dark and intense. He's clearly deliberating something. Maybe he'll murder me down there. I'll end up dead in a dumpster. The investigators will see my fishnets and heavy eye makeup and assume I'm a hooker. They'll follow all the wrong leads. Meanwhile, Joshua will be calmly bleaching all my DNA off his shoes and making himself a sandwich. Serial killer eyes. I wish I didn't sound so scared. He looks over my shoulder at his reflection in the shiny wall of the elevator. I see what you mean. You've got your horny eyes on. He spirals his finger dramatically over the elevator button panel. Nope. These are my serial killer eyes, too. He lets out a deep breath and pushes the emergency stop button, and we jutter to a halt. Please don't kill me. There's probably a camera. I take a step backward in fright. I doubt it. He looms over me. He raises his hands, and I start to lift my arms to shield my face like I'm in some awful, schlocky drive-in horror movie. This is it. He's going to strangle me. He's lost his sanity. He scoops me off the floor by my waist and balances my ass on the handrail I've never noticed before. My arms drop to his shoulders, and my dress slides to the top of my thighs. When he glances down, he lets out a rough breath, which sounds like I'm strangling him. Put me down. This isn't funny. My feet make little ineffectual spirals. This isn't the first time a big kid's thrown his weight around with me. Marcus Deshaies in third grade once slung me onto the hood of the principal's car and ran off laughing. The plight of the little humans. There is no dignity for us in this oversized world. Visit me up here for a sec. What on earth for? I try to slide down, but he spans his hands on my waist and presses me against the wall. I squeeze his shoulders until I come to the informed conclusion that his body is extravagant muscle under these Clark Kent shirts. Holy shit. His collarbone is like a crowbar under my palms. I say the only idiotic thing I can think of. Muscles. Bones. Thanks. We are both desperately out of breath. When I press my leg against him for balance, his hand wraps around my calf. When he puts one hand on my jaw and tilts my head back, I wait for the squeeze to start. At any moment, his warm palm will snap tight, and I'll begin to die. Nose to nose, breath against breath. One of his fingertips is behind my earlobe, and I shiver when it slides. Shortcake. The sweet little word dissolves, and I swallow. I'm not going to kill you. You're so dramatic. Then he presses his mouth lightly against mine. Neither of us closes our eyes. We stare at each other like always, closer than we've ever been. His irises are ringed blue-black. His eyelashes lower, and he looks at me with an expression like resentment. His teeth catch my bottom lip in a faint bite, and goosebumps spread. My nipples pinch. My toes curl in my shoes. I accidentally touch him with my tongue when I check for damage, although it didn't hurt. It was too soft, too careful. My brain is whirring hopelessly with explanations of what is happening, and my body begins to better its grip. When he leans in again and begins to move his mouth against mine, softly plying it open, the penny drops. Joshua Templeman is kissing me. For a few seconds, I'm frozen solid. It seems I've forgotten how to kiss. It's been so long since it's been a daily activity. Not seeming to mind, he explains the rules with his mouth. The kissing game goes like this, Shortcake. Press, retreat, tilt, breathe, repeat. Use your hands to angle just right. Loosen up until it's a slow, wet slide. Hear the drum of blood in your own ears? Survive on tiny puffs of air. Do not stop. Don't even think about it. Shudder a sigh, pull back. Let your opponent catch you with lips or teeth and ease you back into something even deeper, wetter. Feel your nerve endings crackle to life with each touch of tongue. Feel a new heaviness between your legs. The aim of the game is to do this for the rest of your life. Screw human civilization and all it entails. This elevator is home now. This is what we do now. Do not fucking stop. He tests me and pulls back a fraction. The cardinal rule broken. I pull his mouth back to mine with my hand fisted at the scruff of his neck. I'm a quick study, and he's the perfect tutor. He tastes like those spearmints he's always crunching. Who chews mints? I tried it once and burned my mouth out. He does it to annoy me, flickers of amusement in his eyes at my irritated huff. I nip him now in retribution, but it urges him closer against me, body hard, warming me everywhere we connect. Our teeth chink together. What the fuck is happening? I ask silently with my kiss. Shut up, shortcake. I hate you. If we were actors in a movie, we'd be bumping against walls, buttons flying, the fishnet of my stocking shredded, and my shoes falling off. Instead, this kiss is decadent. We're leaning against a sunlit wall, dreamily licking ice cream cones, rapidly succumbing to heatstroke and nonsensical hallucinations. Here, come a little closer. It's all melting. Lick mine, and I will definitely lick yours. Gravity catches me by the ankle and begins to drag me off the handrail. Joshua hoists me up higher with a hand on the back of my thigh. From this tiny loss of his mouth, I growl in outraged frustration. Get back here, rule breaker. He's wise enough to obey. The sound he makes in reply is like, huh? The kind of amused sound people make when they discover something unexpected yet pleasing. The I should have known sound. His lips curve and I touch his face. The first smile Joshua's ever had in my presence is pressed against my lips. I pull back in astonishment, and in 1 millisecond his face has defaulted back to grave and serious, albeit flushed. A harsh burr comes from the elevator speaker, and we both jolt when a tinny voice ahems. Everything okay in there? We freeze in a tableau entitled, Busted. Joshua reacts first, leaning over to press the intercom. Bump the button. He slowly sets me down onto the ground and backs away a few paces. I hook my elbow on the handrail, my leg sliding out on roller skates. What the fuck was that? I wheeze with the last of my air. Basement, please. Righto. The elevator slides down about 3 feet, and the doors open. If he'd waited another half second, it would have never happened. My coat is in a crumpled mess on the floor, and he picks it up, dusting it off with surprising care. Come on. He walks off without a backward glance. My earrings are caught in my hair, tangled by his hands. I look for an exit. There are none. The elevator doors snap shut behind me. Joshua unlocks an arrogantly sporty black car, and when I reach the passenger door, we face each other. My eyes are big fried eggs. He has to turn away so I don't see him laugh. I catch the reflection of his white teeth on a nearby van's rearview mirror. Oh, dear, he drawls, turning back, dragging his hand over his face to wipe away the smile. I've traumatized you. What? What? Let's go. I want to sprint away, but my legs won't hold me up. Don't even think about it, he tells me. I slide into his car and nearly fall unconscious. His scent is intensified in here perfectly, baked by summer, preserved by snow, sealed and pressurized inside glass and metal. I inhale like a professional perfumer. Top notes of mint, bitter coffee, and cotton. Mid notes of black pepper and pine. Base notes of leather and cedar. Luxurious as cashmere. If this is what his car smells like, imagine his bed. Good idea. Imagine his bed. He gets in, tosses my coat on the back seat, and I look sideways at his lap. Holy shit. I avert my eyes. Whatever he's got there is impressive enough to make my eyes slide back again. You've died of shock, he chides like a schoolteacher. My breath is shaking out of me, and he turns to look at me, eyes poison black. He raises his hand and I flinch back. He frowns, pauses, then twists my closest earring carefully back into position. I thought you were going to kill me. I still want to. He reaches for the other earring, and his inner wrist is close enough to bite. Painstakingly, he tugs the caught strands of hair until my earring hangs properly again. I want to. So bad, you have no idea. He turns the car on, backs out, and drives as though nothing happened. We need to talk about this. My voice is rough and dirty. His fingers flex on the steering wheel. It seemed like the right moment. But you kissed me. Why would you do that? I needed to test a theory I've had for a while. And you really, really kissed me back. I twist in my seat, and the lights ahead go red. He slows to a stop and looks at my mouth and legs. You had a theory? More like you were trying to mess me up before my date. Cars behind us are beeping, and I look over my shoulder. Go! Oh, that's right, your date. Your imaginary fake date. It's not imaginary. I'm meeting Danny Fletcher from Design. The look of shocked surprise on his face is magnificent. I want to commission a portrait artist to capture it in oils so I can pass it down to future generations. It is priceless. Cars begin to pull out from either side behind us, horns bleeding and wailing. A string of road rage obscenities manage to jerk him from his stupor. What? He finally notices the green light and accelerates sharply, braking to avoid hitting a car swerving in front. He wipes one hand over his mouth. I've never seen Joshua so flustered. Danny Fletcher. I'm meeting him in 10 minutes. That's where you're driving me? What is wrong with you? He says nothing for several blocks. I stare stubbornly at my hands, and all I can think about is his tongue in my mouth. In my mouth. I estimate there's probably been about 10 billion elevator kisses in the history of mankind. I hate us for the cliche. Did you think I was lying? Well, technically, I was lying, but only at first. I always assume you're lying. He changes lanes in an angry swerve, an ominous black thundercloud of temper settling over him. Here's a fact. Hating someone is exhausting. Each pulse of blood in my veins takes me closer to death. I waste these ending minutes with someone who genuinely despises me. I drop my lid so I can remember it again. I'm shimmering with nerves, heaving a box onto my desk at the newly minted B&G building, 10th floor. There's a man by the window, looking out at the early morning traffic. He turns, and we make eye contact for the first time. I'm never getting another kiss like that again. Not for the rest of my life. I wish we could be friends, I accidentally say out loud. I've held those words in for so long it feels like I've dropped a bombshell. He's so silent, I think maybe he didn't hear me. But then he casts me a look so contemptuous that I feel a painful twist inside. We'll never, ever be friends. He says friends like he'd say the word pathetic. When he slows the car at the front of the bar, I'm out and running before he's even come to a complete stop. I hear him shout my name, annoyed. I register that he calls me Lucy. I see Danny at the bar, bottle of beer dangling from his fingertips, and I pinwheel through the crowd and fall into his arms. Poor old Danny, who was turned up early like a gentleman, with no idea what kind of crazy woman he's agreed to spend an evening with. Hi. Danny is pleased. You made it. Of course. I manage a shaky laugh. I need a drink after the day I've had. I hoist myself like a jockey onto the bar stool. Danny signals to the bartender. Identical baseball bats swing on huge screens positioned above the bar. I feel the memory of Joshua's mouth on mine, and I press my shaking fingertips to my lips. A big gin and tonic. As big as you can, please. The bartender obliges, and I empty half of the contents into my mouth, and maybe a little down my chin. I lick the corners of my mouth, and I still taste Joshua. Danny catches my eye as I lower the glass. Is everything okay? I think you need to tell me about your day. I take a good look at him. He's changed into some dark jeans and a nice button-down check shirt. I like that he's made an effort to go home and change for me. You look nice, I tell him honestly, and his eyes spark. And you look beautiful. His tone is confidential. He leans his elbow on the bar, and his face is open and without malice. I feel a weird bubble of emotion inside my chest. What? I wipe my chin. This man is looking at me like he does not hate me. It's bizarre. I couldn't exactly tell you at work, but I've always thought you were the most beautiful girl. Oh, well, I probably turn bright red and I feel a tightness in my throat. You don't take compliments well. I don't get many. It's the honest truth. He just laughs. Oh, sure. It's true. Unless it's my mom and dad on Skype. Well, I'll have to change that. So, tell me all about you. I work for Elaine, as you know. I start uncertainly. He nods, his mouth quirking. And that's about it? Danny smiles, and I nearly reel backward off my bar stool. I'm so badly socialized, I can barely converse with normal human beings. I want to be at home on my couch with all of the pillows piled on my head. Yes, but I want to know about you. What do you do for fun? Where's your family from? His face is so open and guileless. I think of children before the world ruins them. May I go and freshen up first? I came straight from the office. I swallow the other half of my glass. The faint mint on my tongue deadens the flavor. He nods, and I make a beeline in the direction of the bathrooms. I lean against the wall outside them and take a tissue from the front of my bra and press it to the corners of my eyes. Beautiful. A shadow darkens the hall, and I know it's Joshua. Even in the furthest corners of my peripheral vision, his shape is more familiar than my own shadow. He's holding the coat I left in his back seat. I burst out laughing, and I keep laughing until the tears stripe down my face, almost certainly ruining my makeup. Fuck off, I tell him, but he only comes closer. He takes my chin and studies my face. The memory of the kiss floats up between us, and I can't look him in the eye. I remember the groan I made into his mouth. Humiliation kicks in. Don't. I slap him away. You're crying. I hug myself. No, I'm not. Why are you even here? Parking is a nightmare around here. Your coat. Oh, my coat. Sure, whatever. I'm too tired to fight with you tonight. You win. He looks confused, so I clarify. You've seen me laugh and cry. You've made me kiss you when I should have slapped your smug face. You've had a good day. Go and watch the game and eat pretzels. Is that the prize you think I'm playing for? To see you cry? He shakes his head. It's really not. Sure it is. Now go away, I tell him more forcefully. He backs away and leans against the opposite wall. Why are you hiding here? Shouldn't you be out there charming the shit out of him? He looks in the direction of the bar and rubs his hand over his face. I needed a minute. And it's not always that easy, trust me. I'm sure you won't have any trouble. He doesn't sound sarcastic. I wipe my tears and look at the tissue. Quite a bit of mascara on it. I heave a shuddery sigh. You look fine. It's the nicest thing he's ever said to me. I begin patting my hand along the wall, trying to find the portal to another dimension, or at least the door to the ladies' room. Anything to get away from him. He puts his hand into his hair, his face twisting with agitation. I shouldn't have kissed you, okay? It was a fucking stupid move on my part. If you want to report me to HR... That's your problem? You're scared I'm going to report you? My voice is raising loud enough that bar patrons turn. I take a deep breath, and when I speak again, I am quieter. You've broken me down so completely, I can't even handle it when a guy tells me I'm beautiful. Dismay spreads across his face. That's why I'm crying. Because Danny told me I'm a beautiful girl, and I nearly fell off the bar stool. You've ruined me. he begins to say, but he's got nothing. Lucy, there's nothing left you can do to me. You win today. From the look on his face, I think I've landed a punch. His shadow recedes along the floor, and then he's gone. Chapter 7. I call Elaine in the morning to say I'm not hungover, but I'm having a few personal issues, and I'll be in a little late. She is kind and tells me to rest and take the day off. Rest and finish up your job application because, darling, it's due tomorrow. I'm missing out on a pale yellow shirt today. It's the color of nursery walls when the unborn baby's gender is a surprise. It's the color of my cowardly soul. Last night, after Joshua slid away from me, his face twisted with guilt and regret, I tidied myself up and sat back down with Danny and salvaged the evening. Danny and I have some things in common. His parents have a hobby farm, so my revelation that I grew up in a strawberry patch didn't garner the usual amount of amused, patronizing scorn. It gave me the courage to talk more about it than I usually would. We swapped stories of life on a farm. I watched the expressions slide across his face like clouds. We hung out for hours, laughing like old friends, as comfortable as a pair of slippers. I should be happy and excited. I should be polishing my job application. I should be thinking about a second date. I end up doing the one thing I shouldn't. I lie in bed with my eyes closed, replaying the kiss. Shortcake, if we were flirting, you'd know about it. Maybe he forgot I was Lucinda Hutton, people-pleasing strawberry shortcake, and I morphed into something different for him. An enclosed space, different makeup, my dress short and my perfume fresh. In a moment ruled by insanity, I was the object of his lust from the time it took us to travel from 10th floor to basement. And he was definitely mine. I needed to test a theory I've had for a while. What theory? How long is a while? If I were some kind of human experiment, he could have had the decency to give me his conclusion. When I think about his teeth biting softly down on my bottom lip, I get a clenching flutter between my legs. When I think of his hand on the back of my thigh, I have to reach down and feel where his fingers spread. The hardness of his body, I can skip breathing for a bit. I wonder how I tasted to him, how I felt. I'm loafing around in my pajamas at 3 p.m., paralyzed by the looming application deadline, when my door buzzer startles me. My first thought is it's Joshua, come to drag me back to work. Instead, it's a delivery man, with flowers. A huge bouquet of lipstick red roses. I pinch open the little envelope, and the card says three whole words. You're always beautiful. There's no signature, but it doesn't need one. I can imagine Jeanette's expression softening as she hands Danny a post-it note detailing my address with a muttered, "You didn't get this from me." Even HR ladies break the rules for love. I text him, "Thank you so much." He replies almost instantly, "I had a great time. I'd love to see you again." I reply, "Definitely." I stand, hands on hips, looking at the flowers. The ego boost couldn't have been timed better. I turn back to my computer. That job will be mine, and Joshua will be gone. Let's get this finished. He's a big blur of mustard out of the corner of my eye when I walk in on Friday. I hang my coat and walk straight into Elaine's office. For once, she's in early. I could enfold her in my arms and squeeze. "I'm here," I tell her. She waves me in and I close the door behind me. "Is it in?" I nod. "Joshua's is two, and two external applicants so far. How was your date? Are you all right?" She's always the picture of composure. Today she's wearing a blazer over what is probably a pure silk t-shirt, tucked into a wool skirt. Nothing as common as cotton for Elaine. I hope when she dies she bequeaths her wardrobe to me. I ease into a chair. It was fine. Danny Fletcher in design. I hope that's okay. He's finishing up next week to freelance. Shame. He does good work. Seeing him won't be a problem. My mind flashes to kissing Joshua in the elevator. That's a problem, all right. But something happened, Elaine surmises. I had a huge argument with Joshua before the date, and it rattled me. I woke up feeling unstable. Like if I came in here, we'd both be wheeled out by paramedics drenched in blood. Elaine is eyeing me speculatively. What was the argument about? Maybe it isn't such a good idea to vent about my personal issues with Elaine. I'm terminally unprofessional. My cheeks heat, and when I can't think of a lie, I abbreviate. He thought I was lying about having a date. I'm so lame. Interesting, she says slowly. Have you thought about this very hard? I shrug. Only obsessively, to the point where I couldn't sleep. I'm upset with myself for letting him push my buttons. You have no idea how hard it is, sitting opposite him, trying to resist his constant attacks. I've got some idea. It's called brinkmanship, darling. She gestures at the wall with her thumb. She's the perfect person to confide in. Mr. Bexley is on the other side of her wall right now, plotting ways to assassinate her. She follows my eyeline. We hear a faint honking sneeze, a fart sound, and some grumbling. Why would he assume you were lying? And why did it upset you so much that he did? Elaine is drawing spirals on her notepad, and I feel a little hypnotized. She's turned into my therapist. He thinks I'm such a joke. He's always laughing about what my parents do. I'm sure he laughs at where I went to school, my clothes, my height, my face. She nods patiently, watching me try to untangle these complicated thoughts. It bothers me to know he thinks that of me. That's the bit that trips me up. All I want is his respect. You prize your reputation of being likable and approachable, she supplies. Everyone likes you. He is the only one who resists. He lives to destroy me. Maybe I'm getting a little overdramatic. And you him, she points out. Yes, and this isn't the person I want to be. Don't interact with him today. You could take the vacant office down on the third floor for a few days. We could divert the phones. I shake my head. Tempting, but no. I can deal with it. I'll draft the quarterly report and keep to myself. I'll forget he exists. I can still remember the taste of his mouth. I breathed his hot exhalations until my lungs were filled with him. His air was inside my body. He taught me things in the space of 2 minutes that the span of my lifetime did not. Forgetting his existence is going to be a challenge, but this job is nothing but challenges. I gently close Elaine's office door and gather myself. I turn, and there he is, slouched at his desk. Hey. I get a flatter version of, how you doing? Hello. I respond stiffly and walk on tiny stilts to my desk. What he says next astonishes me. I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry, Lucy. I believe him. The memory of his raw expression as he stumbled away from me at the bar has made it near impossible to sleep for 2 nights in a row. Now is the moment. I could take us back to our normal status quo. I could snap at him. He'd snap back. But that's not the person I want to be. I know you are. We both nearly smile and we look at each other's mouth, the ghost of the kiss jangling between us. He's not his immaculate self today. He's a little rough around the edges, probably from a few bad nights' sleep. His mustard shirt is the ugliest color I have ever seen. His tie is badly knotted. His jaw is shadowed with stubble. His hair is a mess and has a devil's horn on one side. He's practically a gamin today. He looks divine, and he's looking at me with a memory in his eyes. I want to run until my legs give out. I want to sweep everything off his desk with my arm. I can feel my clothes touching my bare skin. That's how Joshua's eyes make me feel when he looks at me. Let's put our weapons down, okay? He raises his hands to show he's unarmed. His hands are big enough to encircle my ankles. I swallow. To hide my awkwardness, I mime taking a gun out of my pocket and toss it aside. He reaches into an imaginary shoulder holster and takes out a gun, putting it on his planner. I unsheathe an invisible knife from my thigh. All of them. I indicate under the desk. He reaches down to his ankle and pretends to take a handgun out of an ankle holster. That's better. I sink into my chair and close my eyes. You're deeply weird, Shortcake. His voice is not unkind. I force my eyes open, and the staring game almost kills me. His eyes are the blue of a peacock's chest. Everything is changing. Are you going to report me to HR? Something in my chest folds painfully. So that's why he looks like shit. He's had a hellish day yesterday, anticipating being marched out of the building by security upon my return. My empty desk would have been terrifying. He sat there, visualizing the moment he is locked in jail for being a molester of tiny women. I understand now. Stupid me. No. But can we please never mention it again? It comes out of me a little hoarse. I'm letting him off the hook, instead of taunting him with the prospect. Another step toward being the person I'd like to be. Regardless, he frowns like he's been deeply insulted. That's what you want? I nod, but I'm such a little liar. All I want to do is kiss you until I fall asleep. I want to slide in between your sheets and find out what goes on inside your head and underneath your clothes. I want to make a fool of myself over you. Mr. Bexley's door is ajar, so I speak as quietly as I can. It's freaking me out. He can see that it's the truth. I've got desperate, crazy eyes. He nods, and just like that, Control A, delete. The kiss never happened. I pray for a diversion. A fire drill. Julie calling me to say she would never meet a deadline ever again. I'm not the only one praying for the floor to cave in. How was your date? His voice is faint, his knuckles white. Being nice to me is a lot of effort. Fine. We've got a lot in common. I try in vain to wake my computer. You're both extremely small. He's frowning at his own computer as if this is the worst conversation he's ever been party to. Being friends with me does not come naturally. He didn't even tease me about the strawberries. Danny is nice. He's my type. It's all I can think of to say. Nice is what you want, then. It's all anybody wants. My parents have been begging me for ages to find myself a nice guy. I keep my voice light, but inside a little bubble of hope is rising. We're talking like friends. And did Mr. Nice Guy drive you home? I know what he's asking me. No, I got a cab. By myself. He breathes out heavily. He rubs his face in exhaustion, then looks at me through his fingers. What shall we play now? What about normal colleagues? Or the friendship game? I've been dying to try either of those. I look up and hold my breath. He sits up straight and glowers at me. Both would be a waste of time, don't you think? Well, ouch. If I say it sarcastically, he won't know I'm serious. He opens his planner, pencil in hand, and begins making so many annotations that I blink and turn to my computer. I can't care about his stupid planner anymore. His pencil, my spying experiment. It all ends right now. It's all been a waste of time. I tell myself to be glad. Today is a magnificent black t-shirt day. Write today in your diaries. Tell your grandchildren stories about it. I tear my eyes away, but they slide back moments later. Underneath that t-shirt is a body that could fog an elderly librarian's glasses. I think my underwear is curling off me like burning paper. It's a week after the kiss that I never think about. Bexley and Gammon's alphabet branch is being herded onto a bus like cattle. Waivers, Joshua is saying over and over as people slap them into his hand. Waivers to me. Cash to Lucinda. Hey, this isn't signed. Sign it. Waivers? Who's Lucinda? Someone farther back on the line asks. Cash to Lucy. This ridiculously small person right here. Hair. Lipstick. Lucy. I know someone who is going to be riddled with paint shortly. The line surges forward and I'm nearly flattened against the bus. Hey, I didn't tell you to trample her. Joshua whips them all back and rebalances me beside him like a bowling pin, the warmth of his hand searing through my sleeve. Julie then touches my other elbow, and I nearly jump out of my skin. Sorry for missing the deadline the other day. I can't wait to have a proper night's sleep. I'm like a zombie. She hands me her 20, and her nails have French tips. I curl my slightly chipped nails into my palms. I was hoping for a favor, she says, and over her shoulder I can see Joshua tense, ear tilted to our conversation like a satellite. Eavesdropping is unbecoming. I draw Julie away a little, my hand outstretched as people continue to slap 20s into it. Okay, what is it? Already my stomach is sinking. My niece is 16, and she needs to do an internship. Her school counselor thinks it would help her to gain some perspective. She can't skip classes and sleep all day, you know. Teenagers have no idea of the concept of work. You could talk to Jeanette. She could arrange something. I take someone else's cash. They always want to work with the design team. No, I want her to do an internship with you. Me? Why? I'm seized with the urge to run away. You're the only person here who'd be patient enough with her. She's a little bit opinionated. This is a world first, but I wish Joshua would interrupt. Something happened. Please. I am beaming messages his satellite ear is not receiving. Joshua, Mayday, Mayday. I will do anything for you if you interrupt. She's got a lot of issues, drugs and a few other things. Please, would you do it? It'd mean a lot to her mother, and it might get her back on track. Well, can I think on it? I avert my eyes from Joshua, who has abandoned eavesdropping and is now turned to face us, hand on hip. I need to know now. She's meeting with her school counselor in half an hour. She's meant to have something lined up. Julie looks at me, her mouth curled in an expectant smile. How long would it be for? Like, a day? Julie takes a step closer, squeezing my arm painfully in her beautiful hand. It'd be for 2 weeks during the next school break. You're such a sweetheart. Thank you. I'll text her now. She won't be happy, but you'll bring her around. Wait, I begin, but she's already climbing onto the bus. Well, that went well. You know what I would have told her, Joshua says. I stick a hand into my hair. My scalp feels hot and prickly. Shut up. I'd have said one little word. It's simple. You should try it sometime. Say it with me. No. Hey, Danny says with a smile as he joins the queue. No. Hi. I do my cutest grin. I hope he's wearing sunscreen on his pretty silver blonde skin. You made it. I guess paintballing is a good way to celebrate your last day. Yeah, it'll be fun. Mitchell said I didn't have to come, but I wanted to. The team took me out for a farewell lunch, too. I know most of this. We've been emailing all week, and I helped him carry some boxes to his car. The little envelope icon on my toolbar has been giving me little twinges of excitement. I've been hot and restless all morning. Lightheaded. I definitely have a crush. Waiver? Joshua interjects. Danny hands him the paper, not taking his eyes from me. I love your hair today, Danny tells me, and I duck my head, flattered. It's the correct thing to say to me. I'm ridiculously vain about my hair. My conditioner is probably worth more per ounce than cocaine. Thanks. It's gone a little crazy. I think it's a bit humid. Well, I like it a little crazy. Danny touches the haywire curls resting on my upper arm. We make eye contact and start laughing. I'll bet you do, sleazebag. I shake my head. Give her the money, then get on the bus, Joshua says slowly, like Danny is very simple indeed. They exchange an unfriendly look. I take his 20 and give him a flamethrower smile in return. Wanna be teammates? Yes, I say at the same time as Joshua barks, no. He sure is good at saying that word. Teams are pre-allocated, he snaps, and Danny shoots me a look that clearly says, what's up his ass? I was hoping to, Danny begins, but Joshua shoots him his own look. Whatever you're trying, don't. The last person in the line gives me their cash, and we are left standing in a fog of weird tension. Chapter 8. I'll talk to you in a bit, Danny promises me and boards the bus. I don't blame him. Joshua has his arms crossed like a nightclub bouncer. What the hell was that about? I ask Joshua. He shakes his head. Elaine and Mr. Bexley swerve out in their respective Porsche and Rolls to meet us there. Of course, they're not going to participate in the team building. They're going to sit on the balcony overlooking the paintball park and drink coffee and hate each other's guts. Let's go, Joshua says, and pushes me onto the bus. There are only two seats left, and they're right up front. Joshua has reserved them with stacks of clipboards. Danny leans into the aisle and shrugs regretfully. Joshua sent the branch an email instructing us to change into old casual clothes at lunch. Things we won't mind ruining. I'm wearing skin-tight jeans and a stretched-out vintage Elvis t-shirt. It used to belong to my dad. Fat jumpsuit Elvis, microphone raised to his lips. It slides loosely off my shoulder. The look I was trying to emulate was Kate Moss at a music festival. Judging by Joshua's face when he saw me, I'm a tragic loser. He did, however, look at the emerald green strap of my sports bra. I know that for a fact. Joshua also got changed into casual clothes. While he folded his black business shirt neatly on his desk like a retail assistant, I caught my reflection on the wall diagonal to him, a slack-jawed mask of idiotic lust. Firstly, Joshua is wearing jeans. They're all beaten up and worn, with ice-blue paint flecks, and they pull taut across his thighs as he sits. I can't fault those jeans. Next, he's wearing a t-shirt. The soft, threadbare cotton melts all over his torso as he slouches. The shapes going on under that t-shirt are... The sleeves are cutting gently into biceps that are making me... But it's his flat stomach that I'm... The skin is all gold, like... May I help you with something? He smooths down the t-shirt. My eyes slither along behind his hand. I want to scrunch up that t-shirt into a bowl and eat it with a dessert spoon. I never thought you'd wear... I gesture vaguely at his fabulous torso. You thought I'd be paintballing in Hugo Boss? Hugo Boss, eh? Didn't they design the Nazi uniforms? Lucinda, I swear. He closes his eyes for nearly a full minute. He pinches the bridge of his nose. I'd swear he's trying to not laugh or scream. I cross my eyes at him, poke my tongue out, and say... He doesn't crack. Defeated, I twist up and look over the seats until I see Danny's ruffled hair. We wave to each other and pull identical faces to indicate how unhappy we are with our seatmates. Then it occurs to me my boobs are probably a couple of inches from Joshua's head and I slide back down. You and him? It's getting a little pathetic. Joshua's testy. The word cuts me deep. Pathetic? He's called me that before. We've circuited back neatly to the same place we're most comfortable. I had wondered how things would play out after the kiss, after the tears, the wounded sadness in his eyes, the apology, the silence that has stretched through each day since. According to Joshua, we're back to hate, and I can't do it much longer. I can't keep it going. It's taking too much out of me. What was once as easy as breathing is now an uphill battle. I'm so tired, I'm aching. Sure, I'm pathetic. I watch the road ahead, and the staring game is going on, one-sided. I ignore him. No one can see us except the driver, if she chose to look, but she's got traffic to contend with. Shortcake. I ignore him. Shortcake. I do not know anyone by that name. Play with me for a minute. He says it softly, right in my ear. I turn my face to his and try to regulate my breathing. HR. I manage. His face is so close to mine, I can taste his breath. Hot mint sweetness. I can see the tiny stripes in his irises. Tiny, unexpected sparks of yellow and green. There are so many blues, I think of galaxies. Little stars. Are your roses still alive? Is there anything this man does not know? I try to not notice that our elbows are touching a little. Elbows are not erogenous. At least, I didn't think they were. Who'd you hear about them from? Well, everyone knows Danny Fletcher is your dream man. Roses and whatnot. Candlelit lunches for two in the work kitchen. He looks at my lips and I lick them. He looks at my bra strap and my knees pressed together. Who's your source? His eyes are getting darker. The pupil is eating the blue, and I think of his elevator eyes. Murderous eyes. Passionate eyes. Crazy person eyes. Inside source? Like magazines have for celebrities? Are you a celebrity, Lucinda? I don't know how you know so much. I'm perceptive. I know everything. You know I have roses in my bedroom because of what? Body language? Mind reading? You're so full of shit. You probably look through my window with a long-range telescope. Maybe I have the apartment opposite yours. You wish you did, you creep. I'm beginning to feel the first prickles of sweat on my spine. If he did, I'd probably be the one sitting in the dark with binoculars. Well, are they? They wilted. I had to toss them out this morning. His hand slides down my arm, slowly, softly, pressing the goosebumps flat. His hand is so cold I glance up at his face. His face is set to a default frown. You're pretty hot. Yeah, but that's common knowledge. I'm sarcastic as I pull away. The bus jolts around a corner, and a little wave of dizziness blurs my vision, and nausea turns my stomach over. I'm not getting sick. My body is probably reacting to the stress of the job application process, the kiss, and the murder glint in Joshua's eyes. Looking forward to being annihilated? I manage the best retort I can. I'm going to destroy you. The hating game. You versus me. It's the only way this can possibly end.
Right.
Joshua barks abruptly, standing up and kneeling in his seat to address our colleagues. They all reluctantly stop talking, and I sense mutiny is afoot. I kneel up, too, and wave at everyone. They all smile. Good little cop. Universally despised cop. I notice the Gammons are sitting to the left, the Bexleys to the right.
There will be a total of 6 challenges today, Joshua begins.
7 if you include him, I add, and get some cheap laughs. He scowls sideways at me.
6 teams of 4. Each challenge you'll be in a different group. The aim is to get to know your colleagues in an outdoor active environment. As teams, you'll come up with strategies to get the flag first.
There are blank faces, and he sighs heavily.
Seriously? No one here has ever done paintball. You will be trying to get the flag before the opposing team. Main rule is no paintballing the flag marshals, or each other's faces, or groins.
Darn it. That's all I've been dreaming about.
Marion, Tim, Fiona, Carrie, you are flag marshals. You are assessing the team participation from the vantage point beside the flag. Scoring people, if you will.
I'm slightly impressed. I was a bit concerned imagining those 4 heaving their heavy, pain-riddled, aging bodies across a paintball course. Carrie and Marion nod to each other self-importantly as Joshua passes back 4 clipboards. I wish he'd discussed all of this with me. He's in complete control, and I